Lord, you understand stuff like this happens because God wants to do something for his people. And I used to get all bent out of shape and pitch a fit and throw stuff and choke people with microphone cords. But to be honest, I just don't give a flip anymore. It pops, it pops. I'm going to give it my best for Jesus, and that's all I know to do. I've been announcing all week and several weeks prior to coming here that I wanted to preach a message. I've only preached it twice in my whole entire ministry. But even though I've only preached it twice, I've had this message requested more than any other message I've ever preached in all my life. I want you to pray the blessed Spirit of God would take our imagination and Bible truths and use the Word of God tonight and change our lives. I pray that if there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, that tonight would be the crowning night and you'd accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Brother Allen said probably 50 people here tonight that are not saved, and that's a very conservative number. I pray that if you are saved, you'll realize the blessings and the joy and the privilege it is of being a child of God and passing from death unto life. I'm preaching tonight from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 9. I want to read one verse of Scripture, Proverbs chapter number 9. I want you to stand to your feet with me quickly, please. I want to be as brief as I possibly can. Promise me by the grace of God you'll give me your undivided attention tonight. Many of you have stayed late. It's already the 10 o'clock hour and the building is just about full. And I want to thank you for braving the weather. It's very cold outside. And I want to thank you for coming and staying and being with us tonight. My Father, I'm going to try to give you my feeble best. I'm asking you publicly to fill me with the Spirit of God to overflowing. As I take this simple Bible truth, may you plant a seed of conviction in the hearts of those that are lost. I plead the blood of Jesus. You'd draw back all the forces and demons of hell. Now, Lord, we've prayed. Help the PA to work right. Give my mind liberty and free travel of thought. May the Spirit be upon me so real and so heavy that nobody would leave here untouched. And I pray, Lord, that your name most of all would be honored, magnified, and glorified. I'm going to thank you right now for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm in Proverbs chapter number 9 at verse number 18. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. And that her guests are in the depths of hell. I want to preach tonight for just a few fleeting moments on the subject, be my guest to the depths of hell. Thank you. You may be seated. I wonder what it would be like tonight if God would allow the lid of hell to be removed. Wonder what it would do to our hearts and lives if we could see the inside of the charred walls of the damned. For just a few moments tonight, I would like to borrow your imagination and take you to the crevices of hell. I understand when I preach along these lines and I try to borrow your imagination that this is offensive to people of different calibers and different arrangements of life. My purpose tonight is not to offend you, but through the Scripture paint a picture that'll be with you to your dying day on the reality of this place called hell. As I borrow your imagination, a large elevator appears before our very eyes. The doors are contracted from side to side. As the elevator opens up, we notice that it is filled with the souls of lost humanity. A new delivery, if you please, headed for this awful place called hell. From among the great multitude inside the elevator, a skeleton hand is stretched out from among the crowd. I notice that hand immediately. That's the hand of Mr. Death himself. He is offering me a cordial invitation to enter with them into the elevator of time. After our entrance into the elevator, it begins to plunge straight down at such a phenomenal speed, while the wicked dead scream for another chance to return to their home on earth. As the elevator comes to a sudden stop, the screaming from without overrides the weeping from within. Before the doors contract and open wide, someone yells from among the multitude, "Mr. Death, what is the awful noises we hear?" Mr. Death, with his greary voice, says, "It's the echoes from the depths of hell." As the doors release us, the smell of sulfur fills the air immediately. Just beyond these doors is the reality of total darkness that God promised in His Word all the wicked would face. It seems like there's a long, dark tunnel, and this is known as the Valley of Death. But wait a minute, at the end, it seems like I can almost see a faint ray of light. As the great multitude exits from the elevator of time, they make their journey through the Valley of Death in a single file line. To my amazement, at the end of the darkened tunnel, this small ray of light becomes a large room. Just ahead of us is a receptionist's desk. On the desk is a large book known as the Book of Eternity. Just beside the Book of Eternity is a pen. It's called the Pen of Death. The receptionist is sitting behind his desk, and as the great multitude lines up to sign in a single file line, Mr. Decay lifts his time-pitted face from his desk and turns the book around to face the multitude. With his dreary voice, he whispers the words, "All must take the pen of death and sign in to the Book of Eternity." While he utters these words, each of the condemned souls that's about to perish in hell, they beg one last time for a chance to return to earth again. But all requests are swiftly denied. After all that have exited from the elevator, sign in the Book of Eternity one at a time, all of a sudden from out of the shadows exits the bellboy of hell. As Eddie steps out of the darkness and looks at the great multitude, he smiles and says, "Welcome! Welcome to the depths of hell." Immediately we can hear the roaring of the flames, the smell of the smoke, and the wailing of the wicked dead. In just a matter of a moment before our very eyes, the pit is opened wide, and the new arrivals that accompanied me begin their eternal perishing in the flames of the damned. That is, everybody around me is burning. The flames of the wrath of Almighty God are licking their never-dying souls, and they're begging for just a drop of water to cool their parched tongues. Yes, all are suffering. That is, everybody but me. As I fall down through the corridors of the darkened pits of hell, all of a sudden the bellboy of hell approaches me and says, "I noticed you're not suffering. You must be our guest. Welcome, sir, to the depths of hell." "Bellboy, I appreciate your attitude and I appreciate your hospitality, but I have no intentions on spending a long time in the depths of hell. If you could, please, would you take me on a short, quick tour and show me just exactly who is here and what is going on in the depths of hell this very moment? And may I say before I get into the message, you may not believe in hell now, but you will 2 seconds after you die. There is a literal burning hell." You say, "Oh, but the theologian said, I don't care what Dr. Smellfungus said. The Bible said there's fire in hell, and whether you believe it or not, there's still fire in hell." "Bellboy of hell, could you take me, please, to a short tour? I must be on my way." "Hey, preacher, come over here to this crevice. I would like to show you who's occupying the crevices and the charred walls of hell." As I look over the side of the burning pit and the molten lava is burping up, reminding us of the judgment of God, with a smirk on his face, the bellboy of hell turns around and says, "Look, preacher, this is the crevice of the reprobates. This is where all your rock and roll singers, your child molesters, your whoremongers, your God deniers, your atheists, this is where all your cults
and you sodomites and you fags and you lesbians and you sex perverts. This is where they all come when they die and they perish without God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in days where people don't like to preach on reprobates going to hell. But Romans chapter number 1 is just as real tonight as it was the day the Apostle Paul penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Every reprobate that dies without God will die with a seared conscience, a warped mind, and they'll open their eyes in a Christless hell. We are living in a society, in a world that is reprobate without God. Listen, not long ago in California, 13 men made a mockery of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. One of them adorned himself to look like Jesus and was carrying a cross down the street of that major city. The other 12 men that were following him, that were supposed to be his apostles, were dressed up like Catholic nuns. Men dressed up like nuns. And they took this man playing Jesus and they hung him on a cross in the middle of the intersection of that busy city. And as this supposedly apostle nun surrounded the bottom of the cross, one of them stepped forward, supposedly portraying the apostle Peter. And this is what he said. He said, the reason why Jesus never lusted after the woman at the well in John chapter number 4. And the reason why Jesus never had sex with a woman in adultery in John chapter number 8 was because he was fulfilling all of his lustful desires with the 12 apostles. That was just a hand reach away during his earthly ministry, signifying that they were proclaiming that Jesus was a sodomite and a homosexual. Now, I don't know what you believe, and I don't really give a flip what you believe. But anybody that would say that about the darling Lamb of God is burning in the very crevices of hell and rightly deserve to do so. I'm telling you, Jesus wasn't a homo. Jesus was not a hippie. And Jesus was not a hillbilly. I tell you who he is. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I tell you who he is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, boy of hell, I never seen a crevice like this of the reprobates. Come here, preacher, quickly. I know you're in a hurry. I want to show you another one. Look over the side of this crevice as the burning lava's popping up and it's as dark as 1,000 midnights through the reflections of the fire. We see untold multitudes burning in this crevice of hell. And he said, preacher, this is the crevice of the rebellious. The rebellious. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I tell you, hell's walls are lined with people that did not want to submit to the authority of God. That's what salvation is, brother. It's giving your life from your own authority to the authority of God. It's called repentance. Amen, amen. And I'm telling you, until a sinner throws up that white flag and they're willing to let Jesus have all of them, they'll never be born again. I'm going to tell you something. I'm about sick of preaching in these churches, brother, where folks live like hell for 40 years, rebel against everything that's preached, get critical of everybody that says anything about sin, but they claim they're going to heaven when they die. I don't believe a word of that. I believe when you really get saved, brother, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I believe you'll fall in love with Jesus, you'll fall in love with church, and you'll fall in love with the Bible. I don't believe you'll get blown out, throw your Bible, squeal your tires, grit your teeth. I don't believe you'll go home and call the other members and try to cause a split in the church. I tell you, when you get born again, it takes care of rebellion. Amen, amen. You let a teenager get saved, brother, they'll have no problem submitting to the authority of the parents. Amen. Parents will have no problem submitting to the authority of the man of God. I'm telling you, rebellion is not the characteristic of a saved person. The Bible said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. For you to believe somebody can live in rebellion and go to heaven, you got to believe that you can practice witchcraft and be born again. I'm telling you, hell's filled with this crowd, brother, that doesn't want anybody telling them what to do. How many times in our churches lately, preachers, do we stand up and preach our heart out, and young people sit in the back and grit their teeth, don't even bring a Bible in, got sucker bites up and down their neck, and the girls in miniskirts, and the boys a bunch of fornicators, and they make fun of preaching in old-time religion, but they claim to be saved. I tell you, they've missed the boat somewhere. They've missed the boat somewhere. When I got born again, I fell in love with that Bible, is what I'm trying to tell you. Amen. This is the crevice of the rebellion. Hey, preacher, come here. I know you're in a hurry. This one here may be of a great interest to you. Come over here. Look over the side. My God, I couldn't believe this seemed like one of the most occupied crevices of hell. Could you tell me, boy of hell, what is all this crowd doing here? And he said, preacher, this is the crevice of religion. Oh, you mean to tell me, bellboy, there's religious people in hell? He said, I want you to look, preacher, out of all the reprobates, out of all the rebellion, out of all the crevices of the damned, look which one's most populated in hell. It's that religious crowd. I'm going to tell you, Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus said there's going to be a crowd one of these days that'll say, Lord, Lord. You know what he's going to say to that crowd? Depart from me, you wicked. I never knew you. I tell you, hell's going to be filled with preachers that have never been saved. I don't care if you carry the Bible and preach for 45 years. You'll never go to heaven unless you've been born again. I believe hell's filled with deacons that lived and died on a deacon board but had never been saved. I believe Sunday school teachers by the truckloads have dropped off into hell, never been born again. I believe ushers that has taken up tithes and offerings and counted the money and handed out visitors' cards have went to hell. I know some of you don't like that, but it's still the truth, bless God Almighty. I believe the walls of hell I believe they're lined with preachers' wives. Though they may have been good and follow their husbands, they never were born again. I believe there's choir members burning in hell while I'm preaching tonight. I believe there's song leaders burning in hell while I'm preaching. I believe there's folks that have prayed on our platforms that are burning in hell. I even believe those old white-haired grannies that everybody loved, that was so sweet and kind, if they died without Jesus, may I say to you, they're burning in the same hell as the reprobates and the rebellious. Oh, Brother Allen, if God would open up our spiritual eyes and let you see how many lost religious people is sitting in this tabernacle tonight, he'd probably blow your mind. I'll tell you something, honey. I don't care how good you look in the casket. I don't care how many people you fooled. I don't care how many flowers are sent to your funeral. You die without being born again, you'll open your eyes in hell. I believe they're in hell tonight, quoting every verse of Scripture they've ever known. I believe they're reminding God on a continual basis all the good things they have done during their life. I believe there's preachers in hell saying, Lord, don't you remember the years I preached the gospel? I believe there's preachers' wives in hell reminding God, what about the years I followed my husband and never gave him a bit of trouble? Oh, I say to you, I believe the most populated crowd in hell is not the reprobates and the rebellious, but I believe it's religion. Religion's always hated God. It was religion that nailed Jesus to the cross. Religion's always been an enemy of the cross, and I believe more people will be in hell over religion than anything else when they've died without God. Religion. Some of you here tonight are living proof of what I just said. You're religious and you're going to let your pride take you straight to hell. Hey, preacher, come here. I want to show you something else. Come on over here. I want to show you something else. Hey, look over here. I look over the side of the pit and I can't believe it. Bellboy, there's got to be a mistake. This can't be right. All these women in here, they're wearing dresses. And all the young men, they got suits and ties on and their hair's cut. And they don't have tattoos. And I don't understand. I've never seen it like this before. Hey, bellboy, what is this crowd over here? And he said, preacher, that's the crevice of the righteous. The self-righteous. See, there's women here that thought because they wore dresses they could go to heaven when they die. Look up here at me, lady. Women that wear dresses go to the same hell with women that wear pants if you've never been to Calvary. I'm telling you, you try to bypass the cross, you'll go to hell. I'm saying you bypass the cross, I don't care what you give up, you leave Jesus out, you'll fry in hell. Look at all the women that got dresses on. Look at this crowd. They never listen to bad music. All the boys have on full-length pants. Look at all the little girls. They're virgins. Can I say something? You little church girls, virgins go to the same hell that whores go to if they've never been saved. They don't have miniskirts on. They've never had televisions. They've never drunk booze. They don't even know what drugs look like. They've never said a curse word in their life. Here's clean-cut men wearing suits. They've got good manners. They've never been on a dance floor. They've never cheated on their mate. They've never been a fornicator. They're most respected of all that are in the community before they died, but here they are burning in hell. Yeah, some of you can't say amen to that, can you? Because every time you testify, all I hear about is what you quit and what you don't do. I'm going to tell you something, any testimony that bypasses the blood of Jesus, you better mark her down. There's something wrong with that, buddy. You better mark her down. There's something bad wrong with that. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't get saved by giving up television. I didn't get saved because I quit drinking. I didn't get saved because I gave up the drug traffic. I didn't get saved because I got out of the ghetto. I didn't get saved because I put a suit on. I got saved because one day I heard the gospel. And by faith in the Lord Jesus, I turned to the Lord. And by faith, I got born again. That's what's keeping me out of hell tonight. Bellboy, hell, I want to thank you for the tour. I'm running out of time. I've got to go. I've got to hurry. Thank you for staying to hear me preach, but I've got to hurry up and close. Bellboy, I want you to help me with something I've noticed since I got here. Yeah, preacher, what is it? Bellboy, I noticed there's a big gulf over here on the outskirts of hell. And on that gulf, on the other side, it looks like a place of dazzling beauty and wonderful peace. Could you tell me, bellboy, what is that over there on the other side of that gulf that's separated from this awful place? And he said, preacher, well, I'm awful busy and I don't like to talk about it much, but that's called the crevice of the redeemed. The redeemed? Oh, yeah, the redeemed. Well, I noticed the fire don't get into that section over there. I noticed it's got a different atmosphere. It looks like a peaceful place to be over there. Preacher, I'd really like to spend some time with you, but I've got to go. I'll tell you what you can do. Mr. DeKay's back up at the reception desk. He's waiting on another load of folks to arrive. Why don't you go ask that time-pitted faced man what really used to go on over there in the land of the redeemed? But I noticed, bellboy, there's nobody over there. Why do you have a place for the redeemed? There's nobody over there. He said, Mr. DeKay will tell you, it's a long story, and I don't really want to get into it. In just a moment of time, I find myself placed in back in front of the receptionist's desk. Mr. DeKay has leaned over the big, thick book of eternity. Mr. DeKay, could I have your attention, please? He lifts his time-invaded face once again, and I said, Mr. DeKay, I was talking to the bellboy of hell as I was taking my tour. And I notice there's a great gulf between hell and this other place where he said the redeemed used to be. He said, that's right. It's a place called paradise. And I said, Mr. DeKay, could you please tell me why nobody's in paradise? He said, well, it's a long story. And it goes back a long, long time ago. A long, long time ago, people started coming down the long, dark valley of death, signing in the book of eternity. And because they looked forward to Christ by faith, they leaped over the gulf and went to a place of refuge, that place called paradise. He said, but I want to show you a few pages of time that stick out to me. Come here, preacher. I want to show you something. It all started with this man right here. Let me show you this fella here. Here he is right here. Come here, look at here. His name, he checked in. His name was Abraham. Said Abraham checked in a long, long time ago. And said when he checked in, he went to the other side. That crowd started yelling, are you the one? Are you the one? And he said, no, I'm not the one. But I tell you what, I just heard from heaven before I got here. Had God told me through my loins, he's going to raise up a seed. He's going to raise up a Jewish son. God told me one day he's going to send his son through the loins of my son. One day, boys, he's a coming on in. Years went by, preacher. And every time some male would step over, they'd say, are you the one? Are you him that we've been waiting on? Many, many hundreds of years went by, but come here, this fella here changed the tune of everything. Here he is, right here. His name's Simeon. Simeon checked in one day. And he crossed over and went to the other side. And Abraham said, are you the one? And he said, no, I'm just the priest. But hear me well, people of God. I was standing in the tabernacle the other day. And Joseph and Mary walked in with a little 8-day-old baby boy. Joseph and Mary walked in with an 8-day baby boy. And when they put him in my hands, the Holy Ghost done a cartwheel in my soul. And I looked up into heaven and I said, mine eyes has seen the salvation of the Lord. He's here, boys. He's here. God sent his son. It's been a long time coming. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his boy. I held him in my hands. He's here. Here, preacher, I'm going to show you another fellow turn this place upside down. Yeah, right here he is. Now, this fellow's unusual. He come down the valley of death with his tongue hanging out, saying, ha ha, Herod, I told you so. And he signed in under John the Baptist. And he crossed over to the other side. And they said, are you the one? He said, no, but hear me well, boys. I was a preaching on a Judean hillside the other day, and somebody stepped up over that golden horizon, and the Holy Ghost done a cartwheel in my soul, and I said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is starting his ministry, boys. Said he came down to the River Jordan. We both went inside down in the water. Said when I baptized Jesus and we come up, said the Holy Ghost descended like the form of a dove and lighted upon Christ. And said the heavens opened up with a voice like thunder. And the sovereign God spoke from the throne of the universe and said, this it wasn't Buddha, bless God. It wasn't a bunch of Mormons. It wasn't a bunch of Muslims. It was Jesus. And God says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I'll tell you something, Abraham. He's a preaching. And oh, is he a preacher, Abraham? Folk are coming from everywhere to hear him preach. Come here, preacher. I want to show you this one. Look at here. Yeah, right here. Here's an unusual person. They didn't even give their name. Here's how they signed in. A woman at the well. She signed in and crossed over, and Abraham said, listen, lady, have you heard about him? Have you heard anything about him? She said, heard about him, nothing. Heard about him, nothing. You looking at an old gal that had been married 5 times. I was a shacking up with a man. I'm a half-breed Samaritan. The Jews didn't want me. The Gentiles didn't want me. and said, I had to wait till the late hours to even go get my water at the well. People were shameful to even be identified with me. And she said, one day I went walking out there with an empty pot, and somebody was sitting on the side of the well. And he said, lady, listen, you drink of that water, you're going to have to come right back again tomorrow. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him, it shall be a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. She said, heard of him nothing. I went with the pot and I left with the well. You're looking at a dirty old gal that should have been in hell a long time ago. But Jesus came to where I was and he saved me and he forgave me and he cleaned me up. Hallelujah to God. Bless his holy name. Thank God, the Lamb forever. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Help yourself. Praise God. Shout till you pass out. Aren't you glad? Thank God. Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. Woo! Aren't you glad one day? Jesus passed by. Bless his holy name. Thank God. Yeah, help yourself. See, I shout her out. You just don't know where she come from. You just shut up. Let her have herself a time. You just shut up and let her shout her out. If you knew where we once were, if you knew the mess our lives was once in, and now here we sit, redeemed by the grace of God, you'd know what we're shouting about. Hallelujah. Don't go to heaven, you'll have a nervous breakdown, honey. Because I tell you, when we all get home, bless God, and the last shot's fired, and all the redeemed of God are gathered around the throne, I'm telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet, baby. Yeah. Yeah. Let her shout, praise God. I know where God brought her from. Let her shout. Hallelujah. I'll tell you fellas something. Before you snarl up your nose and get critical of what's going on, you remember one thing. Most of us would be in a beer joint sitting on a bar stool tonight if it wasn't for Jesus. Our homes would be broke up. Our kids would be on the street. We'd have no hope. We'd have no help. I'm saying, brother, we'd all be laying somewhere in our vomit. We'd all be in jail or hell. But I'm telling you, brother, here we are redeemed by the grace of God. I'm telling you, we've got something to shout about. Praise God. Yeah. Oh, here comes the old man from Mexico. Watch it, brother. Go ahead, Tortilla. Help yourself. Praise God. He's been fighting hell down in Mexico. Let him shout it out. Praise God. That's what camp meeting's all about. Get him plugged into the glory world and let God charge you up again. Yeah. Met him, nothing, Abraham. Met him. I know him. Remember, I'm going to show you something. I know this ain't chronological order, but look at this fellow. He didn't sign his name either. Thief on the cross. Signed in, crossed over. Abraham said, have you seen him? Have you heard of him? He said, heard of him. He said, man, I just got off a bloody cross on a hillside and said, I was hanging with one of my thieves' brothers on the other side, and in the middle was a man. And while he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, God, the Holy Ghost smote my heart, and I looked over at him and said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Had Jesus looked through the blood, the sweat, and the tears and said, today,
today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Today. Shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he said, fellas, as I was dying on the cross, I looked over and I watched Jesus look up into heaven. And he took a deep voice. A deep breath is a voice of authority. It was the voice of power. And he looked up into heaven into the face of his Father. And this is what he said. It is finished. I'm telling you, boys, you better start packing up, boys. He has shed his blood. He's died on the cross. The sacrifice has been paid. The sacrifice has been paid. You better start packing up, boys. We're pulling out of here. I saw him dying on the cross. Pack it up, boys. We're pulling out of here. Hey. Might as well get your stuff together, boys. Jesus is dead, and we're pulling out of here. Man done stole my flowers. Mr. Decay, is that where the story ends? Preacher, let me tell you how this thing ends. See that long black tunnel that you got out of? It's been jet black like that for 6,000 years. One day I was sitting here minding my own business and I looked down that tunnel. I said, that can't be what's happening. He said, there's a light coming this way. There's a light! And it's coming this way! And he said, I said to myself, death has never needed a flashlight. But all of a sudden, I realized it wasn't a flashlight. It was Shekinah glory. It's more than a flashlight, honey. It's glory! It's glory coming down that dark tunnel. When he stepped into the room, I turned the book of eternity around for him to sign, and I handed him the pen of death itself. Mr. Decay, could you show me where this man signed in? Oh, I have no problem finding that name, sir, because you see, his name's the only one that's been written in blood. It's the only one that's been written in blood. And he spins the book around and here's how Jesus signed in. I am that I am. I am that I am. He is the great I am of the Word of God. myself, Father God. Now, preacher, I want to show you something. He not only signed in blood. He not only signed in, I am that I am. But look what he put in parentheses after that. Nobody's ever said this before. Checking out in 3 days. Checking out! I said he's checking out. He told me he's checking out in 3 days. Morning. Check it up in 3 days. Hallelujah. Check it up in 3 days. Yourself, praise God. And when he signed in, preacher, when he signed in, he crossed over. Now, preacher, you think you've heard screaming in hell. You ain't never heard nothing till you heard that crowd when he crossed over. I was thinking about President Bush, Dr. Blue, how he slid under and kind of disguised himself. And I remember hearing that when he came out, and everybody in the hangar was shocked. All the forces and troops were there. They'd heard his voice a lot of times, and they'd heard what he had said back in the States. They had no idea he'd come to them. When that dignitary walked up there and saw that envelope, give this to somebody higher than you. The general shouted when he saw the president. I can imagine that dignitary said, well, there's nobody here higher than I. And President Bush come out from behind the scenes. You know what they said? They said from the general down to the private, that place went up in an uproar. They said they thought it would rattle the top of that building. Those soldiers stood up, tears running down their face, and said, there's our chief. There's our leader. There's our commander. I can imagine that day when Jesus checked in. Mr. Decay went to his book and opened it up. And there was an envelope that said, give this to the one higher than you. And I can imagine Mr. Decay said, who's higher than I am? All of a sudden, Jesus steps in and he crosses over And from the private all the way to the general, they stood to their feet. They'd hold a body. They'd hold a body. But then, praise God, the Lord forever, they stood to their feet and said, there he is. There he is. There he is. There he is. Jesus just kind of come off of that cross, kind of slipped through that tomb, just kind of come to the side of that tunnel of death, and brothers showed up. And when he crossed over from Abraham all the way down to the woman at the well, they said, that's our captain, that's our general, that's our leader, that's our president. And brother, all of paradise went up in a shout of glory to God. Now, preacher, for 2 days, that's the awfulest carrying on I ever heard in my life. So let me tell you how crazy that crowd was. We had to remodel paradise when they left. They tore it all to pieces. Said after that second day, there was a command from the leader. And said they all got in a single file line on the other side of that gulf. And he said, all of a sudden, here come that light again, back over that gulf. Said, when Jesus walked by me, he snubbed his nose and pointed to checking out in 3 days. And waved. Said, all that crowd that followed him stuck their tongue out at me when they went by. And said, preacher, 2,000 years ago, they went right back down that tunnel of death, being led by the Shekinah glory of God. And said they were singing victory in Jesus. Said it's been 2,000 years. I hadn't seen that crowd since. I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're going. But they're gone. I tell you where they're at, brother. Jesus led captivity captive. And he took paradise back into the glory world. And presented them to the Father. Thank God I don't go to paradise. I go to glory. We get to go to glory. I got to close. My God, I'm out of time, man. I was reading in the paper a couple of months ago when I was reading a couple of months ago when those POWs come home from Iraq. I was reading an article about those men and women that went down in helicopters and were shot. And that precious young lady that endured so much over there in Iraq as a prisoner of war. And I saw footage from a video camera, a nighttime video camera that was in Iraq, that showed those prisoners of war getting on the back of that relief plane. And some of those soldiers were crippled like this. They were humped and hurting and staggering. And soldiers were holding them as they were getting on the plane. And so some other soldiers were carrying them. You could see them whispering to them fellas. Just helping them on that plane. I can imagine one of them say, hey, hold on, boy, you're going home. Yeah. Your fight's over, son. You're going home now. Yeah. I know you're hurt. I know you've been wounded, but you headed for the house now. You go in the place where you don't fight no more. Go in the place you ain't going to get hurt no more. You're going to be honored for what you've done for your leader. They brought some of them out in cots and they were laying there, blood dripping off their cots. Some of them were unconscious. Their heads were shaved, malnutrition. They were starved nigh to death. Some had dehydration set in. And they flew them over to Germany and gave them some relief. But I remember reading in the USA Today, and man, I tell you, the tears dripped off my face onto that newspaper. Said, when them prisoners of war finally got healthy enough to make the trip back to the States, they flew them all in. I think it was a C-130 they came in on. They had soldiers and guards. And all they knew, Brother Allen, they kept it a secret. All they knew was they knew they were, the government was going to allow their immediate family to be at the airport when they got there. And these wounded soldiers, all they were expecting was maybe a gray-haired dad or maybe just a wife with a baby in her arms. And son, when that plane landed, they come down that runway and they locked up them brakes and reversed them engines. They said when that 130 turned around and it pulled up into that loading area and it stopped, they said one of the biggest bands ever assembled began to play. And said those wounded soldiers straightened up when they heard that music begin to play. And when they kicked that door open and they come off that plane, instead of just their immediate family and their wives and their children, thousands and thousands of dignitaries and soldiers and representatives were standing there. And they said there wasn't anybody there. They had a dry eye. And said when them soldiers stepped off, that band began to play and they hit them cymbals. And they said that place went up in such glory that it was deafening to the human ear. Man, I got to reading that. I got to thinking one of these days, bless God Almighty, we going home, buddy. And we may have to go crippled. And we may have to go wounded. And we may be hurt. And we may be sick. And we might be weak. But I tell you, when we step off that shore in a new body, and that band begins to play, and the saints begin to shout, and the angels begin to fly, and the worship begins to go up, we'll be glad that we were soldiers in the army of the Lord. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed. Be my guest to the depths of hell. The piano's playing softly. Brother Mark, do y'all have a song that would fit here? If y'all would come right now, just give me the quartet, please. Our heads are bowed. Now you listen to me carefully. I went a little long, but that's because y'all kept screaming and yelling. Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. Oh, bless the name of God in heaven. I don't have to worry about going to hell. I wonder tonight, with every head bowed, Brother Mark, play instantly, please. That's right, young man, come on. Brother Allen said it right at the beginning of the service, you hear me? Probably 50 to 100 people here tonight lost. Go ahead. You're going to let your religion take you to hell? Go ahead. If you're that dumb, go ahead. I'd swallow my pride and I'd get to Jesus right now. I'd swallow my pride and I'd get to Jesus right now. I wonder tonight, while our heads are bowed, the Holy Ghost deal with you tonight. Does he need to be saved, Brother Randy? The boy's lost. He needs God.